The Lord be with you. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot upon a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until a more opportune time. And this is the gospel of the Lord. I think it was 1987 that Cher starred in the movie Moonstruck. And Cher, in the movie, Cher played a young woman engaged to one man but falling in love with another, and she was in a conflict with her feelings. And she had a mother, Rose. The Cher's character was Loretta. The mother, Rose, was sardonic. She was in an unhappy marriage, and her husband, who was terribly unfaithful to her, left her alone on Saturday. So one night, and this is why I tell the story, in one scene, she's out for dinner by herself, and while she's out, she sees an older man, very distinguished older man, having a meal with a young woman. It's a professor and his student, and clearly he's up to no good. Finally, the student stands up. She's had enough of him. She throws a glass of wine in his face and storms out of the restaurant, and there he sits, dabbing his face to get the wine off of it. He apologizes to the rest of the people in the restaurant and sits down to eat his meal. Rose invites him to join her for dinner, and they have a lovely dinner. He walks her home, and when they get to her home, he clearly stops expecting to be invited in. He knows her husband isn't home. She knows her husband isn't home. And so he looks at her expectantly, and she says, "I can't invite you in." He says, "Why not?" Or at least he looks puzzled, and she says, "Because I know who I am. Because I know who I am." Now, in the passage of the gospel that we just read, we find Jesus being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. But in the passages right before this, we know that Jesus knows who he is. In the middle of the third chapter of Luke, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan by John. And as he is being baptized, and as he was praying, Luke says, heaven opened up and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Jesus knows he is the beloved Son of the Father. The next thing Luke gives us is a genealogy. You know, one of those boring things that most of us pass right over when we read the Bible. Joseph was the son of Heli, the son of Mathas, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, and on it goes. But at the very end of that genealogy, we hear Jesus, who through David is the son of, through Joseph rather, is the son of David, the son of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, who is the son of God. What is Luke telling us? We are hearing the story of the second Adam. The one who, like Adam, is the son of God. Adam was tempted in the lush surrounding of paradise and failed. Jesus is brought into the desert to be tempted as Adam was, to be tempted as the Jewish people were in the wilderness as they wandered for 40 years, and they failed. And now here is Satan again, Satan who knows, as Jesus knows, who he is. And he tempts him with three temptations that are strikingly like the temptations that confront all of us. After 40 days in the desert, Jesus is hungry. Now, we probably don't know what hunger is like unless we have fasted for 40 days and just had water. But I can tell you, if I miss a meal, I'm looking around for, you know, when I can get out to the 1840 inn down there and have some hamburgers or something, right? So Jesus is hungry and he wants to eat. So the devil comes along and gets him in his weak moment, at his weak point. And that's what Satan does to us as well. When we are weak, when we're lonely, when we're hungry, when we have cravings, he comes to us and he says, hey, it won't hurt you that much. Just give in. Give in. And so Satan says to Jesus, take that rock over there, make it a piece of bread. You can do it. You're the Son of God, right? And Jesus quotes Deuteronomy. He says, it is not by bread alone that man lives. The rest of that quotation is, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What Jesus is saying is, yes, there's hunger in our human lives, but the deepest hunger, the hunger that we don't feel the pang for as much, is the hunger for God's word. It's the hunger for the truth that gives us freedom when we are surrounded by lies. So Jesus refuses to use his power to advance his selfish interests because he trusts that there are deeper hungers that he must satisfy first. And the deepest hunger is the hunger to be obedient to the will of God. The hunger to do the right thing, not the easy thing. The hunger to do what God wants us to do, not what we feel like doing. But see, Satan doesn't give up. He just keeps trying. So Jesus has survived one temptation, the temptation to serve himself instead of allowing God to serve his needs. Then Satan says, well, look, all the kingdoms of the earth, they're mine. They've been given to me, and I can give them to anyone I want. So just worship me, and they're yours. Power, dominion, prestige, glory. Now, there's a good temptation, because Satan, in some ways, does control the powers and dominions of this world. That's why they're so evil. And there's many a person who succumbs to the temptation to give up integrity for power. to do what is convenient so that I can be the boss, so that I can get the corner office, so that I can be elected to that higher position. And I'm willing to compromise for that, because after all, I'll be a pretty good public servant. I'll fill out that corner office really well. And to that temptation, Jesus says, I'm not going to worship anyone but the Lord my God. In a society like ours, we worship politicians and pundits. We worship celebrities. We worship wealth. We worship all the things that the world says will give us happiness, and none of them will. Augustine, in his Confessions, wrote, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. What he's saying is that we are, as human beings, infinite longing, infinite emptiness. And when you are infinite emptiness, you can't fill yourself with finite stuff. A Porsche won't do it. A new house won't do it. A better job won't do it. Only the infinite can fill an infinite longing. Only in God can our souls be at rest. In him is our hope, and in him is our salvation. And Jesus knows this because he knows who he is. And so finally, Satan, not again being deterred and being the prince of lies, says, look, let's go up to take a look at the top of the temple here. If you jump off, your angels will lift you up. Let's just tempt God to do what he says he does. And Jesus responds with scripture, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus will not use his identity as the beloved son for any but godly purposes. He will not let Satan dictate the course of his messiahship, because should he do that, he would have failed as Adam failed. He would have failed as the people of Israel failed in the desert when they worshiped the golden calf. And so Jesus, in his 40 days in the wilderness, shows us the path. Because we too are in the wilderness. The journey through Lent is a journey of 40 days through a spiritual wilderness. But heck, you don't have to be in Lent to realize we live in a wilderness world. We live in a world where nothing seems to be going right because there is too much evil. And in that world so full of evil, we will be tempted. We'll be tempted to be selfish. We'll be tempted to take our food and use it for us. We'll be tempted to worship that which is not God, because that which is not God in our society certainly has power. Worship the party. That's what they do in communist countries, right? Yep. Worship the party. That's why communist countries are so deaf on religion, because religion establishes that there is one God to worship, and it is not the party. We're tempted to worship celebrities. We're tempted to worship all sorts of idols. And Jesus says, be like me, don't be like them. And the good news of this gospel is that just as Jesus knows who he is, we know who we are. We also are beloved sons and daughters. God is well pleased with us. He longs for us to be with him, and he has sent us a savior so that we never need to be in the wilderness alone. We will always be there with the Spirit of God. There is no temptation that can defeat us as long as we turn to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit and say, I can't do this on my own. I don't have the strength, but in you all things are possible, and you can make me a person of integrity and faith and trust. And that's our challenge. Our challenge is to know who we are and to not give up and give in to the temptations of this world, but to be in the wilderness at one with the Father and with his Son who saves us. Amen. God bless.